The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' He will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, and from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. It's a little bit of a complex gospel, and I think it's hard to hold the whole thing in our minds. So what I'd propose to do in order to understand what's going on and make its proper application is to read it from back to front. It's perhaps the clearest way we can go about it. Beginning with this point, so we have any number of points of reference in the passage that we can hold to give us the right interpretation and application, what Jesus is saying here to his audience 2,000 years ago, so as to see what he's saying to us now in this present day. Here we see Jesus says the people from the east and west, north and south, will recline at table in the kingdom of God. Who are the people from the east and west and the north and south? They are the hated Gentiles. He's not talking about the nation of Israel here. He's talking about them, the them of the us versus them paradigm that many of the people have at that time, right? These are the hated enemies. They're hated for good reason, right? These are people who oppressed the Jews. These are people who persecuted them, okay? These are people who taxed them into oblivion, right? So I'm not saying it's justified because I think Jesus perhaps is saying it's not justified, but he's saying here, east and west, north and south, they're coming. They are going to inherit the kingdom, as it were. They are going to live the life of God's blessing when it comes into full effect. Okay, now pull it back again. This is at the end of Jesus' parable where he said, some will be locked outside. I might skip over that part. It's just a bit scary. Some will be left outside. He said, there's going to be wailing and grinding of teeth. When you see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets, okay, so now this is going to shape some sense of what Jesus thinks about the mission, the narrow gate, and how we make entrance into God's life of blessing, because here we have, again, the law and the prophets, some significant characters in the law and the prophets. And what do the law and the prophets testify to? The mission of Jesus. And what does Jesus say the law and the prophets are, or give witness to, except full-hearted and single-minded devotion to God? Love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. So he sets up the mission, and then, remember that first part, the Gentiles are coming before the Jews here, or some, right? Because he says some are last who will be first, some are first who will be last. So if they set up a dichotomy, right, if they set up this this distinction, us versus them, perhaps then they're also failing in love. They're failing in loving God with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and their neighbors themselves. They've missed the point of God's blessing. They think rather that God wants to honor and exalt them over and against the people around them. Instead of, he wants to raise the lowly nation in order to be a blessing to others because they realize that there's nothing terribly special about them to begin with, except that God wants them to be a blessing to others. It's the only place they can hang their hat. It's not to say, well, look how special we are. God is on our side, so we're going to provoke military conflict because God's going to save us. And Jesus is saying, it's not the way of God. God wants to restore you as you are, but he wants to restore you to be a blessing to others. So here, I think, with the back half of the gospel here, we can understand what the application is for our lives and what it means then to, as Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow gate, knowing that many will attempt to enter but will not be strong enough. Here, we know what the struggle is. The struggle is to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we can say, oh, yeah, well, of course, we're good here because we don't do this us versus them thing, right? And probably people on the outside would say, well, of course you do. But we would say, no, we don't do this us versus them thing. We're not setting up people against people. It's not the way. But how about all the way down? Instead of Jesus is talking here, the national agenda, but all the way down to human hearts, because that's where the kingdom of God has to take root. Yes, and that's what makes it such a struggle. How often do we live in our day-to-day life an us versus them? And it could be that there's conflict brewing in our hearts as Father Daniel seems to enjoy his homily, and it gets longer and longer and longer, and I start to think, oh my gosh, what am I doing the rest of the day? I've got to, you know. Okay, well, is that us versus them? It might be. It might be. No, I'm not, you know, like I set myself up as a martyr to, okay, whatever. There are better examples. That's just the only one I have at hand because my homily is running away from me. Okay, so here, look, we do this. And also some of it is because there's a lot of fear in our hearts. And we think, if we think of the potential conflict, right? So like, we're going to go see someone. We think of the potential conflict and what I have to do to defend myself from the harm that someone else is going to cause me and so on. It's us versus them stuff. And it's all the way down. The struggle is real. Yeah, strive to enter through the narrow gate. You have to strive and strive and strive. In fact, Jesus never says, right, because everyone wants to know how many or will there be few or what. And Jesus doesn't say anything about it. He doesn't even tell you, you're there, when. No, he doesn't. He says, strive to enter. Strive to enter. Strive to enter. Strive. And when we stop striving, it's going to go in the wrong direction. We have to strive to enter. We have to strive to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we have to strive to love our neighbor as ourselves every day and every moment of every day. Because it really is that challenging. We otherwise, and not just because of our society, but because of the effects of original sin, we struggle because we live for ourselves. We're selfish. We're self-referential. Everything's about us. And in Jesus, we find an invitation, an opportunity to live the life that God wants us to live, which is a life of embodying his love, embodying his blessing. But we only do that when we're committed to giving ourselves away in his service. And that's our task. And that's how we have to strive. And then who cares whether we look like we're coming out on top to anybody else? Because then we will be the last who really are the first. Because it's in giving ourselves away that we truly find ourselves. It's in having nothing but a commitment to bringing God's blessing to others that we finally live that life of blessing for ourselves.